Hi, my name's Steve, and for the past 19 years, I've been part of one of the best communities on the planet, the military community. I served 4 years as a soldier when my wife Heather and I joined the Army to pay off some student loans. And when I got out, I became a full-time military spouse. I transformed into Mr. Army Wife. Through all of the moves, deployments, and different opportunities and struggles I've experienced, the one thing I'll never forget are the other military spouses I've had the pleasure of meeting. They're amazing, and I want you to meet them too. On today's episode, I'll introduce you to Jillian, Savannah, and Lindsay, three military spouses I get to call my friends. It's the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast, and it all starts right now. Hey everybody, it's Mr. Army Wife, and this is episode 19 of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. I'm so glad you're joining us today, and I can't wait to introduce you to these three amazing spouses that I have with me on the podcast for this episode. I'm going to introduce them in the order that I met them. So first up, it is Lindsay. Apparently, I met Lindsay at Fort Leavenworth back in 2015 or 16 when our spouses were in ILE. However, I don't remember that meeting. I'm really sorry, Lindsay. I say I met you first because of that. However, we really met each other at Fort Stewart at the luncheon when you recognized me and said, hey, we met at Leavenworth. And I was like, oh yeah, hi, how are you? I don't remember that at all. But we became really good friends at Fort Stewart. And so I am so excited that you're on the podcast. Thank you for being here. Can you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
I am a clinical social worker and an Army wife. And I'm the mother of two children. One is 4 years old, and then our daughter just turned 2 months.
That's awesome. And where are you guys?
We are remote from an Army base right now. We are in Athens, Ohio, and my spouse is working with the ROTC program at the university here.
Awesome. Very cool. I can't wait to have you involved in our conversation tonight. Up second is a person I actually did meet at Fort Stewart. Her name is Savannah, and I met her because she was a soldier that worked for my wife at Fort Stewart. And now she's no longer a soldier, but she is a great military spouse because her husband is a soldier. And so we're glad to have you on our team now. You can play kickball with us instead of doing all of those soldier
Finally. I was never allowed to play kickball. I was never happy about that.
That's right. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Savannah.
Right. So I recently transitioned just in July. I was in logistics. I actually worked with Steve's wife, Heather. And now we're at Fort Bragg. That's where I transitioned out of. My husband is in command right now. So now I get to do the Army spouse thing, but he'll also actually transition this spring. Right now I have a part-time job from home working with a relatively small company, just doing some basic things that I can do while my baby sleeps. I have an 8-month-old child. Her name's Hayden. And that's really what consumes my time at this point. So probably this spring we'll move to grad school, wherever that is that my husband chooses. And we'll go from there.
Perfect. Awesome. And then finally, last but not least, I met her earlier this year or late last year at a luncheon. Again, these spouse club luncheons, they get me every time because she was a vendor and she sells wonderful stuff and makes t-shirts and things like that. I actually wore one yesterday to a bourbon club event. I wore the shirt you made for me. Her name is Jillian. Jillian, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me. Right now I'm a stay-at-home mama. I have two daughters. One is 10 years old and one is 17 months old. So we have quite the difference in age gap there. I definitely was starting to feel the stir craziness of staying home with the girls and wanted something to kind of have a creative outlet. So I created my Mama's Makery. And so I'm doing that right now. And we are here at Fort Knox. And my husband is also in logistics and we'll be continuing on to do that at our next place that we're heading to. So we're excited for that and love being part of the military spouse life.
I didn't know your husband was logistics.
Yes. Here, he's kind of more of a training brigade, but overall, he's within logistics.
Wow. We got a lot of logisticians around here. That's for sure. Well, that's great.
It's a good crowd.
All right. Well, let's get into the conversation, ladies. We are going to have a wonderful talk, and I can't wait to hear what you all have to say. Lindsay, I'm going to start with you. What is life like as a military spouse for you?
Overall or right now?
Overall, right now, combine the answers. I don't know. You figure it out.
Well, right now it's awesome. We always say that the Army gives and the Army takes away. And we just came out of a time where the Army took a lot. And so we're in a place right now where we're gaining some of that back. So being able to spend time on our relationship and our family, and that's been really great. Overall, it's been really great. I met my husband when I had just come back from living overseas. And so the thought of moving around every couple of years and meeting new people and going new places really interested me. And it definitely has not disappointed in that sense, other than the fact that we've never gotten to go back overseas. So that would be really nice. But overall, I really like it. I've met some of my absolute best friends who I'm sure will be with me long after he's gotten out of the military.
How do you think military life has changed you? Has it changed you at all?
I think it's made me a little bit more flexible. I am a little bit of a type A personality with, I like schedules, I like routines, I like to have a 5-year plan, I like to have a 10-year plan. Those things don't really happen when you're married to someone in the military and they're like, oh, we're moving to, you know, Fort Lewis, or we're moving to Fort Stewart. So, you know, that always kind of throws a kink in it. I've always been an extrovert, so the making new friends part is definitely one of the parts I enjoy the most.
Savannah, you are kind of new to this. You were a soldier and your husband was a soldier. So you were both kind of doing the Army thing and living kind of the same life, but in different places.
Yes.
What has the Army life as a spouse, what has that shown you over the last couple of months?
It has shown me so much. So, you know, being an officer when I was in, I always had pretty large formations, obviously mostly male soldiers that had mostly female spouses. So, you know, when I was in, I always made it a point to always go talk to the spouses because I felt that it was really important. And as a female officer, I never wanted to be considered a threat, which unfortunately you come across that situation. So I feel like I've always valued the military spouse, but I had no idea, absolutely no idea. You know, I didn't have kids. We only recently had our first. So the last year has absolutely opened my eyes just to how valuable military spouses are, what they deal with, how flexible they have to be. There is just absolute 180 of my understanding of what military spouses deal with. It's incredible. So while I've only technically been out for a couple of months, the last year or so, I had a pretty laid back job. And I got to, you know, have Hayden take maternity leave. So it's kind of been a gradual change. But yeah, my mind has been wide opened, I feel like, to having to be flexible all the time.
Do you think it's a different skill set than as a soldier? Are you learning that you have to do different things?
Yes. So I'm also type A. I love schedules. I love plans. And I think part of it's motherhood as well. You know, the last year, how I operate during the day has absolutely changed. I don't set my schedule anymore. The baby sets it. And then second to whatever my husband is doing. So yeah, I think I'm sure it's an acquired skill set. And I think as a couple, we have already had to grow. We've had to talk about a lot of things where, you know, when we were both in, I'm sure you can really, you know, when you and Heather were in, there's just a certain understanding when you both have the same job. And now, you know, we have different jobs. So there's just a lot more communication that has to happen.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that before. Jillian, what about you? What has life been like as a military spouse for you?
I'm kind of relatively new at it too, 4 years this July. So one of the biggest things is I didn't used to be as independent. Even though I was a single mom, I was very dependent on my parents because they were so close. And so moving from Kentucky to Hawaii actually made me really grow up. You know, I was a mom, but I still was very dependent on them. So I really found a lot of strength in that because John was in command at that time. And so, you know, it was long nights and alone a lot of times. And so I found a lot of just growth in the past 4 years for sure.
So you've only been a military spouse for a few years, but has it changed you? Or like you said, you were very dependent, but have you seen like other attributes come out in yourself?
I definitely have learned to go after like making friendships a lot more so because I've always been someone who has always had a job, and that's, you know, ready-made friendships. It's easy to make friends when you're going out and working. And now it's like, oh, you have to go to the playground and the play dates and things like that. So it really has brought me to a new level as far as like being more social.
Lindsay, I think that's something that you and I can relate to a lot as being social, because you and I are very social. We were part of a coffee group there at Fort Stewart and that kind of stuff. I know that making friends hasn't been hard for you, but it's definitely different.
Yeah, it's different. I work remotely and since I was at Stewart, I worked remotely. And so my friends don't come from work necessarily. But the great thing about working remotely, I guess, was I worked 4/10s. And so I'd have a day off every week. And pre-COVID, you know, I could go do the Spouses Club, or I could go do, you know, TJ Maxx with, you know, my best friends. You know, I got to live the best of both worlds. But I remember when I first married my husband, he was already at JBLM. And I moved up there. And maybe we had been there about a week. And he left to go to a site survey somewhere in Afghanistan. And one of the other commander's wives just came over to our house, knocked on our door with a bottle of wine, and was basically just like, we're going to be friends now. You just got married. Our husband's left for 2 weeks. Like, we're going to be friends. And Nikki has been one of my best friends ever since. And so, yeah, but that kind of just set the tone. And I remember her telling me that in this life, you're so desperate to make friends, but it's not a bad thing. It's just the way that we are. You have to meet somebody. You have to get someone to be, you know, your kid's pickup contact for school. And it's probably going to be, if it's not a friend that you previously knew, it's a friend of a friend that they connected you with.
Or it's the friend you met 5 minutes earlier in the office at the school.
And it might very well be, or, oh, our spouses went to school together, or, oh, our spouses went to ILE together. Will you please pick up my child?
We have 14 friends in common on Facebook. Can you be my emergency contact?
Yes. You must be good people. I must be able to trust you with my child because you are friends with this person or that person.
Yeah. So. It's weird how we make friends in this life, and it's different, and I think it's kind of fun. I make a lot of them.
I think it's awesome.
I take them bourbon drinking, so it's okay. Let me ask you this. Jillian, what is your favorite thing about being a military spouse?
I would say I'm kind of a person who likes to move. And even before becoming a military spouse, I was like, oh, I'm bored of this place. I want to go somewhere new. And so I really enjoy not the process at all, but the actual getting to go somewhere new and just experience. I've really enjoyed that part.
Lindsay, how about you?
Say the question again.
What is your favorite part about being a military spouse?
Oh, definitely the people. I meet so many, not just women, but I'm just going to use that because most spouses that I know are, but I just meet so many amazing people. Everyone has a story and they're all so diverse, and everyone got to this lifestyle a different way. Everyone handles the challenges and stresses a different way. And the resilience and determination that everyone has in common. And the silent service that everyone has. Because I feel like you really have to have a higher sense of purpose as a family to be successful in this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I'm always really impressed by that.
Savannah, I'm not going to ask you that because I don't know if you've had time to kind of come up with an answer for that, but what has been your favorite thing about military service, about, you know, both being a military spouse and being a soldier?
Well, I also agree, people. I think naturally, you know, if I would have stayed in middle of nowhere, Missouri, where I grew up, you know, the amount of friends and just the network that you're able to build, you know, I couldn't have even conceptualized the diversity with my friends group. Yeah, I think the people it's an incredible network of people that you get to meet. And, you know, I think, I don't know about anyone else, but there's so many times where if it's at work or if it's in your personal life, you know, maybe you run into someone, maybe you see someone driving and you think, man, that person's an idiot. They can't drive. You know, you run across all these people, but then somehow in the military, we get to meet people and you get to really know them. And somehow you just always are around such great people. So, you know, it's really, I'd say being in such a diverse environment, it's really opened my mind. Just, you know, there is good in everyone. You just have to get to know them. And I think the military, whether you're a soldier or a spouse, really just kind of forces you to be around certain people. And you eventually get to know that I think most people have some pretty great qualities.
What do you struggle with, Savannah?
Everything? Do you want a list? So actually, I was thinking about it when we first started talking. I don't know about anybody else, but personally, I struggle with first impressions. I think I'm very quick to judge You know, I could probably read into a lot about that, but I'm pretty harsh, honestly. When I first meet people, I always kind of assume the worst and kind of just what I said, right? Like, eventually you get to know people and it's always a 180 for me. It's always like, wow, I never would have guessed this person, you know, had such great qualities. So I've thought about that a lot. Yeah, first impressions. I'm not a great read on that personally.
Lindsay, what do you struggle with in this life?
Lately, I've kind of struggled with the lack of being around family. I was so ready to get the heck out of the little town I grew up in. I could not run away fast enough. And I was really judgy about people that didn't, especially right now with COVID and everything going on. I mean, my mom hasn't even met my daughter yet. And so that's been kind of a struggle. I am lucky, though. I live close to my in-laws, and I love my in-laws. They're amazing people, and they live about an hour away from us right now. So then having to leave in 3 years, leave them. My nieces are up in Cleveland. You know, we get to see them more often. I grew up with a lot of family, and seeing that my children aren't going to necessarily have that same experience. So I'm struggling with that kind of lately.
Jillian, you look like you relate to that.
Very much so. So we're originally from Kentucky. So this move is going to be very hard. Right now, we're about 2 hours from our family, both of us. And so that's not going to happen again for a long time. So that definitely is what I'm struggling with currently, for sure. But normally, it's the saying goodbye. Because I get really close to a lot of people. And it is really hard to say the goodbyes myself, but also to see my now 11-year-old who's really starting to struggle with, okay, I'm going to have to say goodbye very soon. I think that's more hard than my goodbyes.
How many moves have you done?
So we moved from Kentucky to Hawaii. So this will be our third move. So we really haven't done a lot. So ask me about my favorite part in a couple years more after we've done it a few more times. But so it's all fresh.
And Lindsay, how many times have you moved?
5.
Yeah.
And really haven't, comparatively, I feel like we really haven't moved. I married my husband when he was a captain. And so I feel like most of my friends have moved a lot more than I have.
Yeah, you guys are rookies.
Yeah, we're kind of late in the game. We're coming up on 10 years.
So. I feel like we've moved 152 times. And Savannah, you've moved twice, right?
I guess 3 times.
West Point.
So
you were at West Point together, right?
We were. And then to Fort Lee twice. And then Hunter, and then now we're at Fort Bragg.
So yeah, the moves are hard. I mean, no question. I know, Savannah, those are hard for you too, right?
Absolutely. It's hard every time saying bye. And I feel like, you know, the moment you get comfortable, that's when you're moving again. I'd say the positive aspect of it, I don't know about anybody else, but I love purging things every time. So I see my friends and family that live in the same house for years. And I'm like, honestly, I don't know how you do it, because I get rid of a lot of stuff every time I move. Steve, I think you do that?
Every time.
Fort Stewart.
Every time, yeah. Yeah, we get rid of a ton of stuff every time we move, so.
It really makes you question, what do you need?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it becomes less and less. We downsized about 1,000 square feet this move. Like, we got rid of a ton of stuff, and I still feel like we have more to get rid of. Why do we have so much stuff in our basement?
Heather and I decided pretty early on that we were never going to have a storage unit. Like, I know people who have storage units, and then like they have to go and get everything out of their storage unit and bring it to the house so that the packers can take it to another house where they take it to another storage unit. And Heather and I just determined that we were never going to do that. So we moved from a 2,000 square foot house to a 1,300 square foot house. So we had to pick a ton of stuff to go, and it's worked out really well for us in that regard. And it kind of happens every time where we're just like, oh, I don't think this is going to fit in the new house, so it's got to go. And it goes. That's one of my favorite things too, Savannah. That's a pretty good answer. We haven't had that one before. I like it. What surprised you about military spouse life? Jillian, I'm going to start with you on this one.
I would say that I'm surprised that it was as easy to make friends, because, like I said, I had to kind of step out of my comfort zone a lot. But I think that military spouses also feel the kind of rush to make that friendship and connection too. And so I feel like I got to a deeper connection with the friends that I've made so far faster and a little bit easier than I would just, you know, with hometown people, because you feel like you have a lot more time to get to know them, and you kind of just have to hit the pavement running and make that friendship fast. And so you have an emergency contact, and you know, you can trust those people.
Do you remember who the first friend you made that was a surprise was?
My friend Caitlin, and she's still, to this day, like I would say, best military friend that I've made so far. She,
Shout out to Caitlin.
Yeah, hey girl.
Let's do a shout out to Caitlin on the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast.
We were actually cheering our husbands on at a mud run, and it was just literally we were by ourselves for, it was what, 4 hours?
Oh, wow.
And, you know, you're just kind of like shoved into the moment, and just we clicked really well, and literally someone I would trust my children with right off the bat, and it's been a wonderful friendship, and I'm so thankful for it.
What about you, Lindsay? What has surprised you about this life?
I'm always surprised by how well educated the spouses I meet are. And some of it, like, people are just smart because they're so adaptable and they've had to, you know, heck, if you can figure out how to do the claims from our move, you're smart. But, you know, the education level sometimes. I have a really good friend that is a phenomenal stay-at-home mom, and like she homeschools, and she's always just so together. I feel like she's a PhD in music, and I think it's church music. We're both Catholic, and I think it's like Catholic music or religious music, and I'm always just blown away. You know, I know lawyers and doctors and nurses and teachers and, you know, people that have just struggled and fought to get, you know, their associate's degrees and, you know, things like that. And I'm always just so impressed at how well educated, because I think sometimes people assume that, oh, you're a military spouse, that's your whole worth. And so I'm always just blown away by that.
Savannah, what has surprised you so far? Anything stick out?
Oh, absolutely. I think the fact that everyone has their own story, everyone has their own struggle. And I think that's something that I've really noticed as far as now that I have a baby, it has absolutely humbled me. It's brought me all the way back down. And I've gotten to really appreciate some military spouses that I know that have children in general, but children with disabilities. I knew about that because, you know, you have the EFMP program, and I knew that from like the administrative side as an officer. But now I really see the sitter that we have for Hayden. Her children have some different, you know, challenges. And it's just a whole nother layer. I always knew that stuff existed. But I think military spouse life is hard. I think whether you have kids or not, it's difficult. And then some people just unfortunately get handed just a whole lot of challenges, and they just seem to wear it very well. So it's really surprising when you get to meet people. You know, you can meet them at a social or a luncheon, and you hit it off, and then at some point you learn, like, wow, these people are dealing with a lot, and you would never know.
As you're talking, just like the names of people are just running through my head of, you know, all of that. My first job after I got my social work degree was working with EFMP program at Fort Leavenworth. The system's got its own issues, but I was blown away by the families, you know, and the advocacy that they do, both in the military and outside the military, for their families.
Jillian, how about you? Have you experienced some of that with your friends and people you've met?
Definitely, just seeing how strong everyone is when it comes to their family and doing all that they can to take care of them, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that military spouses just kind of have to do, because you never know when their soldier is going to be able to help or not going to be able to help. It's almost like sometimes we're like, oh, they're helping, good, yay, I can breathe. But if they're not there, it doesn't matter. We're going to pick up. We're going to do what we got to do. All right. I'm going to ask this. What do you think your civilian friends need to know about your life as a military spouse that they don't understand? Who wants to tackle that one first?
I'll never forget when my grandmother passed away, some of my family members thought the Army would pay to fly me home for her funeral. And it was like, no, like, that's not their responsibility. You know, like,
they might let my husband have a couple days off.
Yeah, I mean, not for my grandmother, you know, like,
right.
Yeah. So they either have this, I feel like it's a dichotomy. There's either, they think that you know, oh, it's so wonderful. And the military does all of these things for you. Or they think that like, we're really poor and that we have nothing and that we are destitute. I mean, I don't even know how else to describe destitute, but like actually just when I gave birth, you know, they come in and I had a scheduled C-section. So it was beforehand, you know, they're doing all the registration stuff and they send in the financial counselor because, you know, on there, I guess somewhere I had said that, you know, we had TRICARE. My husband was in the service. And we're remotely stationed right now, so there's not a lot of military here at all. And, you know, this lady just really carefully sits down with me. And she was very, very nice about it, but, you know, just kind of tries to talk to me through the financial implications of, you know, what is that going to look like for our finances and this, that, and the other. And I looked at her and I was like, I expect to pay about $60 to have this baby. Like, that's it. Like, and we have, like, I pay, you know, I have the, what, not prime, I have standard. So like, you know, I pay for some of the services anyway, but like, you know, and she just, it blew her mind. She had no idea. And so kind of that dichotomy, like we are neither of those things. We are neither rich nor are we destitute. Like, you know, we are normal people. Like
the army does take care of some things and then some things we have to take care of ourselves.
That is true.
What about you, Savannah?
I don't know. It's a tough one. My answer doesn't necessarily only apply to being a military spouse, but, you know, when I was in, even now, you know, the time that I have off with my husband, it's golden. It's invaluable. Our weekends, our 4 days leave. And I felt the same way when we were both in, but it still remains now. I think some of our family members have an appreciation, but some maybe can't understand just how valuable, you know, when he's able, like Lindsay, I think you mentioned, right, to do bath time, or if we're able to take a 4 day to go to Asheville. Like,
love Asheville.
The value, yes. Oh man, it's beautiful. So we've had 2 4-day weekends there, and just like, I'll remember those for the rest of my life. And it's nothing particularly special, but it's just having the time together. So for us and our family and our friends, sometimes it's hard to really explain how valuable free time is with mm-hmm. both people available.
That's an interesting one. I haven't had that answer before of, yeah, they don't understand that our leave is special to us and we can't go run and see everybody that mm-hmm. wants us to go see it. Like, we live in the States, come visit us, and then nobody comes and visits you, and they just expect you to go to your hometown and go run around and see everybody instead of trying to be in one central location. I know that I've heard that before, that that's one of those things. So yeah, you're spot on with that. Jillian, what about you? What do you think your civilian friends or your family need to know?
I would say don't be afraid to be a friend of a spouse or a military member, because I have a lot of friends who are talking about, you know, this person up and left and this person up and left, and they're like their very best friend and they're so sad. And it's, yes, it is sad to have that friend move away, but also you have that value of that friend. And military spouses and members can be absolutely the best friends that you'll ever have, and don't discount that friendship because they're going to move away to save feelings.
Make friends with us. We're awesome.
Really cool.
All right, one last question in this section. What has been your favorite military spouse moment? The thing that you will remember forever as a military spouse? Jillian, you're smiling, so I think you have an answer for me.
Well, we had our daughter. She's 17 months old, and his unit is kind of newer. And so she was actually the first baby born into the unit. And so they presented her with her own little special orders. And it was a really cute, fun moment and something I'll definitely always remember. Just, I love that.
Savannah, do you have a favorite military spouse moment?
So I do. Kind of makes me laugh. When Tommy first took command, I actually was technically the SFRG leader, and also being pregnant, like, we knew at some point that would have to change, and, you know, eventually it did. But there I am. I think it's like a Thanksgiving dinner. I had cooked this ham. I've got a belly. I've got my maternity shirt on. It's one of like 3 shirts that are nice that fit me. And anyway, I'm trying to clean up a crock pot because we're leaving, and Tommy is nuts about his truck. So I'm like, you know what? Let me clean this crock pot so he doesn't get ham juice all over his truck. It splashes all over the shirt, and it's like the oily stains, and it's like 1 of 3 shirts. I'm exhausted, and it's just the ton of people all around. We're in like this big conference room. Everyone sees me covered in this ham juice, and I remember just having to take a really deep breath, and I was like, okay, I'm leaving. We're leaving. We're leaving right now. And it just, you know, of all the moments, I don't know why that stuck out in my head, but you know, it was like kind of embarrassing. I was just utterly exhausted being so pregnant, and I was trying to be the supportive spouse, but I just told him, I was like, I have to go. I'm not staying here anymore.
It's just ham perfume. That's all it was. You were just wearing a new pork flavored perfume. It was fine.
I still have the shirt. I don't want to, you know, I'm too stubborn to throw it away. You know, maybe someday I'll get the stains out.
That's great. Lindsay, how about you? What has been your favorite military spouse moment?
Oh, I have so many of them. Probably similar to like slightly embarrassing, but really fun. I have two memories that are just that I'm really thinking about right now. One of them, newly married, my husband was taking a new command, and thank God his first sergeant's wife of his previous command, like she put her arm around me one day and she was like, girl, you can do this. Like one of my mentors, I have amazing mentors from all across our time in the Army, but Ann Tucker, she was the first.
Shout out to Ann Tucker.
Shout out to Ann. So I'm like, okay, I got this. I can do this. I'm getting we're at Fort Lewis. I'm getting the cake from the commissary with the Tomahawks logo on it. It's got this beautiful dark blue icing. You know, we did the whole spread for the change of command. And bless his heart, I cut him off a piece. My husband takes a bite of it and it turns his mouth blue for his whole first day in command. So I like to tell that story to people to remind them that like you have the best of intentions, but like I never thought about the fact that like, you know, the beautiful dark blue icing was gonna do that. So word of warning. And then my other favorite memory, because I can't really choose, is when we were at Fort Stewart, my friend Alyssa and I went and decorated Warriors Walk. And
can you tell everybody what Warriors Walk is? Because there might be some people that don't
know. So Warriors Walk at Fort Stewart is their Survivor Outreach Services Program memorial. And it's basically two rows on either side of Cottrell Field. Is that the right name?
The parade field, yeah.
And they're lined in what I think are crepe myrtles, but they're beautiful large trees, and the community and family members of the fallen get together and decorate it at Christmas time. Alyssa and I went and we did the decorating, but the very memorable one, I think it was last year, it was just pouring down rain. And usually winters in Georgia aren't too bad, but this was like miserable, and it was cold and wet, and like it was just not good. But we went and we did it, and we were so ill prepared for it that we actually like stopped halfway through, went to the PX, went to clothing and sales, and bought gloves. But the only gloves we could find were like parade gloves, like leather fancy looking gloves. So we were just like, okay, that's it, that's what we're wearing. That memory. And we got to meet the families, and there's one family that they would come in every time, and it was their daughter was a helicopter pilot and had I think been shot down, and they always brought a bottle of champagne. And I think it was the previous year, my friend Jenny Harper and I had met, or Jenny introduced me to them because she had previously met them. And they always decorated her tree really girly with high heel ornaments and, you know, all of this really girly stuff. And then popped open a bottle of champagne and shared it with whoever was around them. And that'll just always stay in my heart.
Hey friends, it's Heather, Mr. Army Wife's wife. I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast as much as I am. Steve and his friends will return in a few seconds, but first I wanted to ask you to share the podcast with your friends and family. There's a lot of great information in each episode, and your help in spreading the word will make Steve's friends and your friends come together. You can introduce others to the podcast on Facebook and Instagram by searching Mr. Army Wife and Friends, or just share the link on your social media platforms. We would really appreciate your support. And now back to the show.
Thank you for those incredible stories, ladies. I know that people are going to be loving your stories and loving you guys after those. But I do want to move on to our article. We've got a good one tonight. It is about housing. We love housing. We love talking about housing. And Rebecca Allwine at military.com has written an article that everybody should read. Make sure you go to the show notes. The link will be there. Title of the article is "There: These Are Some of the Outrageous Official Reactions to Military Family Housing Woes." And basically, she just tells us some of the things that have been put out on Facebook that military members or housing leaders have said to soldiers when soldiers tell them about their lovely houses on post. Really, I just want to get some of your reactions to the article and then talk a little bit about housing itself and your personal feelings about housing or your personal experiences about housing. So, Lindsay, I know that you have lived both on and off post, so I'll talk to you first. What did you think of the article and what stood out to you?
I thought it was really obviously well written. The sad thing is that they make you laugh because there's some of the sayings or quotes were just so ridiculous, you know, and it's sad that it, you know, makes you laugh because you're like, wow, someone actually said that.
Yeah. Let's give one example. We'll say this first example is an unidentified garrison commander said to a family member, "My house isn't perfect either. I have windows with condensation on them." Okay. Yeah. Okay, we got it. Nobody's house is perfect, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't try and remedy the situation.
Yeah. I actually, when we were at Stewart, I did not live on the installation there, but I think that it is our responsibility to our fellow families. And, you know, I think it's our spouses, if our spouses are in leadership positions, I think it's their responsibilities to their soldiers and their soldiers' families to appropriately advocate for them where they can and how they can. And I think that as spouses and not being so bound in some of those advocacy measures, I think that it's our responsibility to speak up for those that feel like they can't or don't know how to. But I'm a social worker, and by nature, we are advocates. It's part of what we do. And so I'd say probably every month I call. Now I live in Ohio, and I did change my residency to Ohio because I like to think that my vote counts more here. But I like to call my senators and my congressmen and my state representatives and voice my opinions about a variety of different things. And this reminded me I need to call them and voice my opinion again about military housing. Yeah, but I think that we all can, and I think that we all should. Our spouses might not feel comfortable doing it themselves, but I think that we absolutely should.
Savannah, what about you? What did you think of the article?
Well, I want to say, Lindsay, that's very, very impressive. I would say not everyone is that active. I know I'm not, so good for you for being that vocal. My first thought about the article was just how amazing it was that that spouse just started this, you know? You know, now you see it and you say, okay, how hard is that maybe to start a Facebook group? And,
yeah,
you know, social media is big, but it's amazing.
She's referring to the Military Housing
Advocacy Network.
Military Housing Advocacy Network, founded by military spouse Darlena Brown. After her sons were exposed to and poisoned by lead paint in a military house, which is, yeah, so she founded that. I know that it has made the rounds. I'm on that Facebook group. I know probably most of my friends and most military spouses are at this point. But yeah, that was impressive for sure that she did that.
Absolutely. And then another thought that I had, because I'm a little familiar with Army contracting, I'm also kind of somewhat involved with it still now, my job. I would love to see that contract. I would love to see the details of it. You know, I'm sure it's very long, but kind of how we mentioned about holding people accountable, I would just love to read it and see who is responsible for what. You know, it's not like open source information, I don't think, but wouldn't that be an interesting read?
It's the public-private partnership. It's really interesting. And the only reason I know anything about that is my husband wrote a paper on it for his master's in public administration program that he did a couple years ago. I watched when the lady spoke to Congress. And one, it was very inspiring, but there was no tangible results. And that's the thing that I think frustrated me more than anything was, it was like, we got heard, people agreed with us that this was an injustice and that this was wrong, and we're still there, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, we're still fighting for it. And not having mold and lead in your house, I don't feel like are outrageous things to ask when you're paying a decent amount of money to live somewhere.
Yeah, so. Apparently another housing executive or military person said, "My wife and I laugh and talk about how if one of us didn't clean the tub, of course it would have mold. That is what they were told. They were told to clean the tub." I think that's mildew though, not mold, right? Mildew is what, and I mean, that comes off pretty easy. So Jillian, what did you think of the article?
I think it's really sad. You know, that's a basic thing that is not that hard to understand that people would want to be taken care of. I remember we were in the process of, we had just found out that we were coming to Fort Knox. And I remember there being the article that it came out about the lead. And I remember that being a deciding factor, like, okay, we're gonna live off post. And, you know, it's kind of sad because that's something that I would actually like to experience, because I feel like you get that kind of close-knit relationships. And especially for my daughter, she really wanted that experience as well, because she felt like here she didn't have as many military kids in her class. And so she was kind of sad that she doesn't have as many classmates that have the same experiences. And I feel like if we were on post, she would have that. And so, you know, that kind of had a big deciding factor for us, that, you know, we were going to be able to go in and have an inspector check our house and be able to make the decision and not be put at the end of a list because we decide against a house. It's sad that that is not taken care of to the magnitude that you would think it would be.
Savannah, I know you've lived mostly off post, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. Has that been part of that decision-making process, or what kind of went into your guys' process for that?
Well, I'd say mostly my husband is our finance guy. He's my financial advisor. He wants to get the most out of his money. So to him, you know, he wants to spend his BAH on what he wants to spend it on. He doesn't necessarily want it all taken, you know, just blank. I know, obviously, you have the other side of that, right? On-post housing usually includes utilities, and sometimes there's kickbacks you can get if your, you know, usage is lower. So I'm sure the pros and cons are even. But with us, kind of the opposite of wanting the community, we wanted a break. We wanted to breathe. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be off post, not necessarily to see uniforms everywhere, you know, in our free time. So that's always been our driving factor. Also, now we have so many animals that couldn't technically live on post. We wanted to in Fort Lee, Virginia, and we couldn't. So that's where we're at. We have 4 pets.
I totally understand that one. Lindsay, what has driven your decisions on whether or not to live on post?
A little bit of the BAH thing, a little bit of, you know, what the circumstances. So when we moved to Fort Leavenworth, we chose to live on post just because we had heard that, you know, that sense of community was really there. But I will say, as soon as we found out my husband got into SAMS and would be there for an additional year, I marched my butt right over to housing and put in a housing request change, because the house we were in, I believe, had a lead paint notice or warning, and we had just had my son. And so I very specifically said, I want to live in this type of house that's newer, that doesn't have that, because of this reason. And they're like, oh, it'll take, you know, 4 or 5 months. I'm like, I will wait. I am indefinitely patient. And it took like 2 months. We had a really good experience there. Moved to Fort Leavenworth pregnant, and like my 3rd or 4th night there, I moved there before my husband got there. You know, the smoke alarms were chirping low battery at like 10 o'clock at night. And I will say the maintenance guy was great. He came out, he brought a ladder, he changed all my batteries because I couldn't get on a ladder. I have not personally had the horror stories that a lot of other people have experienced, but I definitely know that they're there. And I've seen some of the housing issues that people have had. So a little bit of the BAH, some of it just the experience. At Stewart, we chose not to live on post. One, we thought my husband probably would need a little bit of a break, but also I thought my job prospects would be better being closer to Savannah and having that ability. Looking back, I ended up getting a job remotely, and I wish we had lived on post because he was never home. So, ever.
Yeah, I see that too. Like, we lived on post at Leavenworth and we loved it because that sense of community definitely mm-hmm. was there. And then we lived off post at Fort Stewart because I looked at the housing market and I was like, oh, I can make some money mm-hmm. if I buy. And so we bought a house and we made some money. And then here at Fort Knox, I can't imagine, like, Jillian, I know you live off post, but I just love it on post here. It's absolutely fabulous. And we're in historic housing. So if there was going to be problems, it would be in one of these houses. And mm-hmm. I know that people have had some minor problems, but for the most part, and even we have, but for the most part, they've been really great about fixing them. But yeah, there are those horror stories out there. And the more that you hear them, the more that they inform your decision. Is this kind of one of those, we hear the worst things and we don't really ever hear the good? I mean, some of the stuff has been really bad. I mean, it was bad enough to get to Congress, so it is really bad. But what is driving the housing to not be better? Are we only hearing the worst things and that's why they're not driven to try and improve? Or are they trying to improve?
I don't think that we're just hearing the worst things. In fact, I don't think we're hearing half of the worst things that actually happen. You know, for every spouse that has the ability or the capacity to get their story out and to advocate for their family and what they need, there's probably one or two that, you know, is worried that it's going to reflect badly on their spouse, or that, you know, somehow get pushed under the rug. I believe it's probably worse than we imagine at some places. I don't think that it may be everywhere, but yeah.
Yeah, and so people know, privatized housing is run by different companies. It's not just one company that runs every single military base. So you're exactly right. You might have a company that is really good about keeping up with things, and then a company that is not so good or blames its residents or things like that. So no, I think you're right on that.
I think the answer to your question about why they might not be getting better is because there's no way that I've seen them being held accountable. You know, they're not getting paid. They're not losing contracts. I think I heard that like the Air Force pulled one company's contract from somewhere, but there's no ramifications for it. You know, also it's the fact that the Army grows and shrinks with the size of the current administration in Washington. So with that, I feel like all of the newer housing was built kind of at the beginning of, you know, the global war on terrorism. And there hasn't been a lot of updating or upkeeping of those things because they didn't have to, or they were meant to be temporary, or they were built quickly and not meant to withstand the wear and tear.
Savannah, have you heard really bad horror stories? When you were in command or when you were a soldier, did you have soldiers that came to you with issues?
I cannot really remember any specific situations off the top of my head, to be honest. I am aware of, you know, the larger issues. I think actually here on Fort Bragg, I think we've got some pretty old housing here. So I am somewhat aware of some issues here on Fort Bragg as well. What I would say is to your question earlier, you know, about are we only seeing the bad, or do we know maybe why things are or are not improving? And I just go back to the same thing. I'd want to see that contract. I'd want to see if there's, you know, how is the military or how is the government awarding these contracts and what's in it? There's usually ways if someone isn't fulfilling a contract that can be amended. But yeah, if, you know, a company has a contract for X amount of years, you know, I think I heard, you know, an astronomical amount of years that maybe Corvius received a certain contract for, but just interesting, you know, how long are these companies actually performing this duty before they're actually held to a standard? I think that would be great to know.
Yeah, is it an automatically renewing contract that just, you know, oh good, you didn't kill anybody this year, so you get to keep your contract for another 25 years or whatever it is.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's probably written in there some very logical verbiage protecting soldiers and families, but, you know, is someone following up? Is someone not, you know, managing that contract? Or, you know, I would just love to be on fly on the wall with the management of these contracts.
Now, since all this stuff has come out, it's been a couple of years now, we are supposed to have a tenant bill of rights that has come out and is supposed to have 10 or 15 different things on it. Have you guys heard about that? Have you guys seen it? Do you know about it at all? Jillian?
I hadn't seen it, no.
Lindsay?
No.
Savannah?
Nope, not aware.
Wow. All right. Well, and we did a podcast about it when it came out. And
dang it, you caught us.
Uh-huh. No, but what I'm saying is there is this tenant bill of rights, but if the people don't know about it, then they can't really invoke those rights when they are living on post and something does happen and does go wrong. Are you guys just against living on post at this point, or do you think you might live on post at some point?
I have a feeling we'll live on post in our next assignment. Right now, we're just remote, and so there is no post. So we had to buy a house. I'd imagine we'll probably live on post wherever we go next, probably because his job will be more demanding. And we have
and might require him to live on post.
Yeah. And we found that we do get more family time traditionally, or it seems that there's more family time when you're closer by. And there's that sense of community you can't necessarily replicate.
No matter how bad the house is, you still have the friends that are living all around you.
Yeah, you've got other people to commiserate with. And I'm pretty vocal. I'm not above, you know, submitting ICE complaints if they don't fix what I need them to fix. So.
Savannah, would you guys ever think about living on post?
I honestly don't think we would. Well, I can't say that, right? In Virginia, we considered it. In Fort Lee, it just didn't work out, right? The housing list was long. It was hard to get a clear answer of when we would maybe get offered a home. So for us,
and you weren't there very long.
No, 6 months. But it definitely came down to the decision of, okay, we are planners. We want to know what we're doing. So let's commit to a lease off post rather than waiting. I think the day we signed the lease, we got a call from housing and, you know, our household goods had already been shipped.
Yeah. Jillian, what about you? I know you kind of were hesitant 2 years ago when you were moving here, but is it something that you would consider?
I think we would at some point, but like you all said, the BAH makes sense sometimes to live off post, and my husband just really wants to separate work and home and get away from it. So that will probably keep us off post more than any of the issues. But, you know, I hope in the future that that's something that's not in the back of my mind, that doesn't scream, hang on, I don't want to even look there.
You know, Steve, I actually do have an interesting story. So a friend of ours, I'm closest with a military spouse. Tommy is closest with the service member. So our friend Sean, his dad also served. So Sean and Julia, our friends, when they went back to Fort Benning, they actually were able to stay in the same house that Sean himself was in when his dad served at Fort Benning, you know, however many years ago when Sean was a kid. So we actually visited them at that home at Fort Benning. And I always really appreciated that experience because in terms of housing, I think a lot of homes that we rent, you know, they're newly built, and newly built homes just have a different feel than some of like the old homes that were built with plaster walls. And it was actually a very unique experience to see them in that home that Sean himself was in as a child. So I think maybe there are those unique experiences out there as well when it does come to military housing.
Oh yeah. I have a girlfriend that's back at Leavenworth right now, and she's sending our girls group like pictures. She loves historic housing. She is redoing everything, like stripping off the layers of paint, doing the original woodwork. She found like a glass transom over one of the doors. And so she got approval from housing to remove the paint so that it can be a window again. I mean, she is taking such care of that house. She says that when she met her husband, he took her on post, or they'd just gotten married, took her on to Fort Leavenworth. And so he's like, this is what we could live in, which if you've ever seen Grant Drive at Leavenworth, it's these beautiful brick houses and they've got these great porches and
they're all haunted.
Yeah, they're all haunted. I don't think that bothered her so much, but you know, she finally got her Leavenworth house to live in, and she loves it. So I think if that's your thing, yeah, that's great.
What are the advantages to living on post, Lindsay?
Not having to think about paying utilities. I think about that every month when I get the bills in the mail. I'm like, oh, like even if they're on auto pay, you know, it's just like not having to even worry about that was great. Having 24/7 maintenance, that was always really nice. You know, and then I think just being close and in that community. Our friend Jenny at Stewart, when she was there, the relationship she had with the other spouses, that they're all of the backs of the houses, behind them there was a big playground. And so, you know, some of the community and the safety part of it. I live in a pretty safe place right now, but I do look forward to, if we live on post at our next place, trying to get a house near a playground so I can just kick the kids out of the house and let them free range at the playground a little bit.
Hey friends, it's Heather again. I can't wait to hear this episode's description words and the advice these military spouses have to share. But first, I have to ask you to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Whether you give Steve a 5-star or a 1-star review, he wants to hear from you. What do you like about the show? What do you think could use some improvements? Steve and his friends are all ears and would love your feedback. Thank you.
All right, it's time for my favorite part of each episode, and that's where we describe military spouses using our letter of the week. This week we are doing tango. It's letter T, and we've got some great words for you guys. I'm going to start with Savannah. Savannah, why don't you tell us what your word is, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So the word I came up with today was tolerant. I think the biggest adjustment I've had to make is just to be so flexible when it comes to scheduling. You know, every day there's something that you have to be flexible for. And I think tolerance might be a little bit harsh of a word, but I think sometimes there are those days where, you know, it's a hard day and all you can do is just tolerate, you know, the schedule that doesn't fit what you want, or, you know, maybe the change in plans that you weren't expecting. So I absolutely believe that military spouses just have to tolerate a lot.
Totally agree with that. How about you, Jillian? What is your word for us?
Trustworthy and trusting, because we all touched on it earlier when we said you literally are like, hi, nice to meet you. Will you be my emergency contact? You have to be a trusting person to be able to do that. But also you have to be trustworthy and open for other spouses to feel like they can rely on you. And the same with your spouse. They have to be able to trust in you 100% when they're gone. Being trustworthy is overall the most important thing to me.
Lindsay, how about you? What's your word for us this week?
I chose tenacious. The determination when military spouses or military families want something, and just that drive and determination to get it, whether it's advocating for their voices to be heard about housing or services for their children, or, you know, some opportunity, an educational opportunity, or, you know, something like that. I think that, you know, just the determination that we have is why I chose tenacious.
I've got a T word for you too. This was really hard for me because there's a lot of great tango words out there. We've got talented. I mean, come on, military spouses do so many different things and they are so talented. We've got tenderhearted. I mean, they are definitely tenderhearted, but I'm going to go with timeless. I think military spouses are timeless. I think that since the beginning of this country, we've just done some great American things and done a lot to help our soldiers, whether it was on the frontier, whether it was during the Revolution or during, you know, the Civil War or the World Wars. We've just done whatever it takes to make sure that our soldiers can do what they have to do when they have to do it. And that makes us kind of timeless. And for as long as we will be a country, we will need a military. And for as long as we need a military, we will need military spouses. And that will never change and that will never end. So military spouses are definitely timeless. And all of you are timeless to me. So what do you guys think about each other's words? Anybody have an opinion on tolerant or trustworthy or trusting and tenacious or timeless?
I like the timeless. That reminded me, actually, I'm looking on my bookshelf. I have the book Together by Catherine Marshall, General Marshall's wife. And just when you said that, it made me think of that. And as I read the book, there's so many things, you know, some of the things you're just like, wow, the old army was a lot more strict than the new army is.
Yeah, I personally really like Jillian's choices between Tommy and I. You know, trust, we talk about all the time. You know, I think it's huge in any relationship, but it's definitely huge. You know, I picture in my mind the military spouses that I'm closest with and that I've been close with for years. And yeah, trust is absolutely a requirement.
I think tenacious is really good because, you know, the person who started the group about the advocacy, you know, it took someone who really knew what she wanted to get accomplished and make it happen. And, you know, that's a very tenacious person right there. And that's just one example of how many spouses that are in the military that have done major things like that.
Well, ladies, all of those were great words. And I know that we are all timeless in the ways that we are tolerant, tenacious, and trusting and trustworthy. So continue that. And all of the military spouses out there, just continue that and you'll be great. We've got one thing left to do. What is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten? Or what would be the best piece of advice that you would give to a new military spouse?
Honestly, I would say to give maybe not just the SFRG or Family Readiness Group. I would say to give organizations like that a chance, whether it's the SFRG or maybe it's just a small group of spouses, just to give them a chance. If someone reaches out to you and says, hey, come to my craft event or come to this coffee, just give it a shot. At least go one time and then make your decision. Don't automatically count yourself out, because I know me personally, I'm so easy just to say, oh no, I want to stay home. But I've met some fantastic people by going to those events.
The most successful people that I know in this lifestyle have their own independence. And whether that is they host their own coffee group, whether, you know, it's a career, whether it's, you know, they're passionate about, you know, restoring their old house, or they're really into homeschooling their children. Whatever it is that fulfills you and makes you happy, you know, that and coffees usually have really good booze.
And just throw your planner away. And, you know, I mean, you're going to have your family planner and things, but there's so many times where you're going to look up and have a vacation planned and all of a sudden something comes up and it's not going to happen. And that's something that I've kind of grown a lot in the past 4 years, is to learn that even the most exciting thing may get changed at the last minute, but it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen later. And you can enjoy that later, but it's something that you're just going to have to live with, unfortunately, but for the greater good. And don't lose yourself, because a lot of times, like you said, people just assume you're just the military wife or the military spouse. And it's important to keep what makes you you and not just be just the spouse, because there's so much that is great about every person that I've ever met, and it has nothing to do with the spouse. Just always be true to who you are.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for being on the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. I love having you on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. A special thanks to Lindsay, Jillian, and Savannah for sharing their lives with us. Join us for the next episode of Mr. Army Wife and Friends, when I'll introduce you to more of the great military spouses I've met throughout the years. This is Mr. Army Wife, my name's Steve, signing off and reminding you to be the change you hope to see in the world.